Well, each week we've been giving you an assignment so you could be able to try to fulfill those. I hope you're keeping up with that. Last week you were given to be kind. How many of you got to put that into practice this past week? Can I see your hands? Ah, great, great, excellent, excellent. And so this week is to be generous. I will say that if you would have a lot of kindness acts, I think the video last week inspired somebody. They were telling me that they wanted to do that, give away their birthday also. And except I think they're going to have 40 or 50 kindness acts for theirs. So that girl only had 20 because that's all the older she was. But anyway, there are plenty of these cards left over each week. So if you would like to kind of use one of those, you can grab a stack, use one of those, and kind of whatever your kind act is, kind of pass that along as well. You are certainly welcome to do that. I would say this, in regard to last Sunday, I learned something about myself in that regard. I was kind of struggling with a cold for a few days, and so... I pretty much think I'm drug resistant a lot of times, and so things don't usually affect me. I mean, I can drink coffee before I go to bed and go to sleep. I mean, I have to take extra pain pills if I'm going to try to do something about it. So as I was walking and leaving the house, I looked and saw the Mucinex I was taking was nighttime Mucinex. And I thought, it's not going to bother me. And it was about halfway through the sermon that I started to realize I was getting energy back, which meant I didn't have any at all before. And some people actually thought I was going to pass out, or I don't know, all kinds of things. But I did hear from a lot of people that they were thinking something was wrong, and it was. So I promised never to take nighttime Mucinex before I preach again. That's pretty easy to keep. But if you were able to, and it looked like a lot of you were kind this past week in spite of however my delivery was, I am excited and grateful for that. This week, you're going to have to practice generosity. And you don't have to stop doing some of those in the past. You can keep adding them into and seeing how. Because to me, it makes the whole season a little more exciting, a little more inviting, a little more rewarding when we can be able to see how we can be able to use this time to make an impact on our world and to be able to see that kind of difference. And so sharing those with us is a great way. We are certainly in desperate times. You know, my news quota gets filled really fast anymore. I used to be able to watch like several news programs in a row, and at this point, 5 minutes is like about all I can handle. It just seems it's so discouraging, and there's so much negativity that's happening, and our world is so desperate. So more than ever, we as the body of Christ need to make a difference in our world. And we need to be able to lift up our world. And so that assignment each week I'm hoping you're doing. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Great importance of understanding. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts. Teach us this morning. Help us to hear your voice, not mine. We'll give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. Let's try to reimagine what generosity is.
We all know what generosity is. Generosity is when the haves give to the have-nots. It's the billionaire pledge, the big gift, the big check. It's stewarding your time, talent, and treasure wisely to share the excess with others. But if we have the right map, why can't we find our way? Christians tithe a far smaller share of their income today than they did during the Great Depression. For all the calls to stewardship and radical giving in recent decades, our wealth has skyrocketed, debt has expanded, and giving has plummeted. The Bible presents a much grander, richer vision of generosity. Generosity is central to the heart of God. It's not about money, and it's not about me. We're created in the image of the greatest giver in the universe. Everything we have is a gift. God made us by and for generosity. J.I. Packer calls generosity the focal point of God's moral perfection. God gave us life so that we could give life to one another. God gave us Christ so we could give Christ in us to others. This means generosity is not merely a luxury of the rich. It stands at the heart of our creation, our salvation, our purpose. That's why generosity is about so much more than money. Financial stewardship is not the capstone, but merely the groundwork of a generous life. If stewardship is like the law, generosity is like grace, surprising, extravagant, and always overflowing our petty calculations of what's possible, prudent, and deserved. The generous giver does not build himself up. He lays himself down to lift up another. Jesus did not just give us things. He gave himself to us and reconciled with us. Christ-like generosity is never merely transactional. It's relational. It's not just sending food to the tables of the poor. It's inviting the poor to our tables. And when we've learned to love deeply, relational generosity becomes sacrificial generosity. Like Christ, we make ourselves poor to make others rich. So what if we truly began to give our first and finest, not the least and leftover? What if we took righteous risks for a kingdom harvest? What if we tore down the walls and gave ourselves one to another? What if we were less intent on building a legend of greatness than forming a legacy by making others great? What if we gave not only our excess, but our essence, helping men and women become who God made them to be? See, generosity is not an obligation, but an invitation. An invitation to participate in God's redemption of all things and to know the great joy of the great giver as we live the life that's truly life.
We have the opportunity in several ways to help you know how to be generous and how to make a difference in our world. One of those, we gave out gift cards last week, and there are still a few more if you were not able to pick yours up to make sure that we can be able to get those to our world. It's a great opportunity. It's our Christmas blessing project, and it's been a great opportunity for you to be able to make a difference in our local world and trying to be able to reach out to those that are in our world. And we hear great stories that are coming back. By your giving to that, it makes it possible that we can be able to make that happen. And so appreciate your gift to Jesus between now and Christmas Eve. That'll help us to be able to cover that. Also, we give you the opportunity for clean water in Africa. We're digging wells, and we've had some great opportunities already that we've been able to do some wells, about 12 of them thus far in our Christmas season, that we've been able to make a difference. And so that's thousands of people that are getting clean water because you care. And so that's an exciting way. And there are many other ways that you personally can be able to help make a difference. And so we're challenging you to be thinking about how you can be generous during this season. It seems that we get so caught up in the Christmas gift aspect for one another, we lose focus of what the season is really all about. And so remember this: a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. We just really think that this is such an important part. That's one of the reasons that we stopped passing offering plates. And we put them on the walls, and people bring their tithe instead of give, because it's not ours anyway. We bring it back to God, and we give it to him. And so as we think about that, we do it not reluctantly, but cheerfully. And so as we think about that, that's such an important, because if we're going to give reluctantly, honestly, keep it. It's really just not worth it. We need to make sure it's given cheerfully. They kind of say, give till it hurts, and keep on giving till it feels better. The fact is that we need to make sure that that's our heart. Our heart is just to cheerfully give and to be able to use that. And so God rewards that, and he blesses that. And God will generously provide all you need. And then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. And so by your tithe, when we come, we bring our tithe to the Lord and we bring that, then we're able to use part of that in our missions opportunities and the ways we do locally and then globally. But those are ways that we can help make a difference in the lives within our community and within our world around us. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from the ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God, for your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. One of the things that we have found in this whole thing is that by our giving, we're also able to make an eternal difference. And so what we have heard and what we understand, when we were giving a few years back to Haiti, we were given latrines at a Christmas time. Some of you were a part of that, and remember. And for each of those, there were something like 21 people who came to Christ as a result of that, because it not only made a social difference and a health difference for those families, they wanted to know where it came from, and as a result, we were able to have a spiritual impact as well. The same is going for the wells that we're doing at this point. Not only are you helping to make a difference in a community by health-wise, because dysentery takes the lives of many, unclean water is certainly disastrous, but it frees up these children instead of going for water to be able to go to school and get an education. It makes it safer instead of going for water 5 miles away, and many girls are attacked on the road. It makes it safer so they can get water right in their own village. So you're making a difference. Then they're showing the Jesus film in each of these communities. And as a result of that, many people are coming to Christ and they're having to establish churches in these communities just because they wanted to know where the water came from, who had blessed that, and realizing people cared about them and realized that's exactly what Jesus does. And so we're, by our generosity, giving over and above what our tithes is and giving our offering, we're able to help make that kind of a difference. And they will pray with you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank God for this gift. Too wonderful for words. And so generosity originated with God. God is the one who brought it first. It said he overflows with kindness. His generosity is more than what we can even understand. And so God's work among us, he was the one who originated generosity. Generosity must also come from a cheerful heart. It's so important that we realize this is just a joy to do. It's not something I have to do. Many of you are still talking about Thanksgiving sermon when we talked about the difference of have to and get to. And you're trying to incorporate that get to. I hear that from a number of people that you're trying to incorporate, I get to go to work. I get to get up and serve. I get to. And so the list goes on and on of the ways. But that's how we get to give and do it cheerfully. Generosity allows God to show his provision to us. God wants to help you understand he wants to be your provider. But we, in our independence, want to know we can take care of ourselves. And God says, no, like, let me show you I can provide. Let me show you that I want to work in your life and be that provider. And if you give first to me, then you will find out that he will take care of that and he will be our provider. Generosity has an eternal impact. We shared a little bit about some of the ways that that can make a difference in eternity. So we're talking spiritually changing lives as well as other ways when we are generous. We also see that generosity in the name of Jesus brings praise to God. And so what they said is, like, they were overwhelmed with the kindness that was expressed to them. And what did they do? They gave praise to God as a result. So we realize that that's exactly how God wants to work in our lives. Generosity is an act of obedience. And so God has called us to be generous. He's commanded us. He's told us, this is the life I want you to live. And if we live this life, we will find what a difference it is for each one of us. I know that Sharon and I often will talk about that. Something that I guess it's been kind of in the heart of both of us from the very beginning, that we've always wanted to be generous. And we've always tried to make sure that we're generous in our giving to others and our giving to the Lord. And just recently, this last week or so, we were talking about, let's look at our giving statement just to make sure that we've been generous in giving to God. Went online, because we give online, so went online, found out what our total was, and I said, yep, we're good. We're good. We're feeling really excited about that opportunity and that responsibility of being generous to God and see how He works. Generosity produces generosity in multiple ways. And so it's kind of like it just kind of keeps feeding. And that's why he talked about the seeds. Like, you plant sparingly, guess what? No surprise when you have little coming back. But you plant generously, no surprise when you have generous amount coming back. And so that's why God calls us to live in that way. Now, generosity changes my world. Changes how I think, it changes how I live, changes what I do. There's just so many ways that it does. First, we know that it draws me closer to God. Generosity, because God has been generous to us, and so when we're generous, it kind of releases us from jealousy, from a grip of materialism. That seems to be so strong in our culture, and it holds on to us so much. But when we're generous, it kind of helps release us from all of that. And that's why God built it into our life, to make sure that on a regular basis, we're not holding on to things. We're seeing God work through our giving and releasing things. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. And so, what is your treasure, and what do you hold on to, and are you trying to make a difference as God would work in your life? The exciting thing is, and what's happened in our world, is we have raised our standard of living rather than raised our standard of giving. God really calls us in our world to raise our standard of giving and to see how God will work through that. And what a difference that makes when we are willing to let God work in that way. Generosity is characteristic of the godly. So, you know, if you removed the godly influence in our world, wow, what a difference it would make. It would be very sad. Do you know, I read recently that of the gifts that were given to, or the work, disaster relief that was done in Texas and Florida and Puerto Rico, the greatest percentage of that came from Christian sources. No surprise, not the government, not others, but Christian sources that gave the greatest. Why? Because God has called us to be generous. And He's called us to be generous in how we live and how we give, and that difference is being made. You think about the influences all around our world. You think about hospitals that have been established as a result of generosity and moving in the hearts of Christians. You think about schools that have been started and why. I mean, the majority of our colleges, even like Bucknell University, started as a Christian college. You see all of those, and how did that all happen? Because God put it on the hearts of Christians to be generous and to help make a difference in our world. Sometimes we get overwhelmed by what's taking place in our world, and we think, like, is there a difference really being made in what's taking place? I was just recently in Ethiopia, one of the things that was really exciting to me is I met another missionary in the mission house that we were there, and he and several others were kind of doing a tour of seeing some of the mission work that they've been invested in. And he said, I said, now what will you see? And he said, well, tomorrow we're going to a Christian school that is established. It's about 1,000 students that are there. And I said, wow, that's awesome. He said, about 700 of them are Muslim students. They come from a Muslim home, but they want education so badly, they're willing to come to a Christian school where the gospel is being shared on a regular basis. And I thought, wow, that's so exciting. He said, then we go to orphanages that have been established, and hundreds of children are in these orphanages, and we get to see how God is working through that in a Christian orphanage and how they're being supplied, their needs, and how they're being cared for. And I started to think about all the different ways that God is working in around our world. And unfortunately, we hear the bad news way too often. We don't hear that good news of some of those great things that are taking place. But as we see, some people are always greedy for more, but the godly love to give, the godly love to give, it's a characteristic of who we are as Christians, as followers. It should be seen in us. And people should say, yeah, that's characteristic. That's how Christians are. And so we need to be making that kind of difference in our world. I have to tell you, one of our core values of Christ Wesleyan is that we want to be generous. And I hear that time and time again, that they'll say, well, your church was one of the first ones to respond, or you were one of the first ones to do. And I think, that's our core value. That's who we are. We love to be generous, and we love to see God work through that. Generosity invests in eternal treasures. So it's not just for now. It's what happens in eternity. Here's what the scripture says about that. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud, not to trust in their money. Here's the problem. We trust in what we have rather than on who has it all. We need to make sure our trust is not in what we have, but in God, because He's our provider. And so that's where we need to be at rest in Him. We trust Him, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those who need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they'll be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. So your giving, when you give here, it goes into eternity. It's an eternal treasure. And so sometimes we forget, whenever we're giving as a result of God's work in our lives, we're storing up treasures in heaven. It's an important part. And then our treasure is in eternal things. Generosity is commanded, but also tells us to test God in this experiment of giving. I love this verse in the Old Testament, as in Malachi, he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse being the church, and bring, we like to say bring rather than give, because it's not ours, it's God's, so we bring it. So there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of Heaven's army, I will open up the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. This is what God says. Try it. Put me to the test. And so that means by faith, I'm going to trust. I'm going to give first, trust God to be able to take care of it and see the difference that comes. Generosity brings God's blessing very clear as we look at Scripture, and we see that that's what He tells us. He wants to bless us. And so I can remember it was really hard for me to talk about giving at one point, because I'm not one who likes to ask for anything. I tend to be that way in our personal lives and in all kinds of ways. I just don't like asking for things. And so at one point, I felt like when I talked about giving, that I was asking people to give money as if it was something personal. And then I realized and came to a point where it's not about me. It's about helping you understand how God wants to bless your life. He wants to bless your life when you are faithful in giving. And so if you do, He can pour out a blessing on your life, because generosity brings blessing, as God tells us. Blessed are those who are generous, because they feed the poor. So blessed, we are blessed when we give, not what we keep. God blesses what we give away, not what we hold on to. And so it's important for us to see that. Generosity brings joy to the giver. There's something fun, something exciting, something just brings pleasure to you when you're able to give away and see how God uses that and makes the difference. I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so there's something that you start finding more joy in what you're giving other people than in what you're getting. And that's the whole thing about that, that God wants to work in each of us. Generosity increases my world. And so when we're generous, it expands our world. Scripture tells us this, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. That's what we have to watch, because God wants to expand our world. He wants us to see beyond ourselves. And so to do that, we practice generosity and see how God wants to work for it. Now, generosity is for all of us. It's important that you not think, wow, I don't really have a lot. I'm really not able to give much. That doesn't matter at all. It matters what's in the heart. It's not in your financial worth. And that's why when we look at this, now I want you to know, dear brothers, look at this passage of Scripture. Dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor, but they're also filled with abundant joy. You see, getting a lot doesn't make you happy. I think our world is, we have a greater unhappy world than ever before. Didn't you think it was interesting in that video that it said during the Depression, people gave more to the church than what they did now? We're more abundant wealth now, greater debt now, because our priorities aren't right, and less joy that's present. And so what we need to understand is how God wants to be able to work for that, because there's no direct connection. Money doesn't buy happiness. We know that. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. So they were poor, but they were richly generous. So it's not a matter of how much you have. It's a matter of what's in the heart. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it out of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift of believers in Jerusalem. Please, let us just give. I mean, what an incredible, incredible testimony. They even did more than we had hoped for in their first action, was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. So we've urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving. Since you excel in so many ways in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in the gracious act of giving. I'm not commanding you to do this, but I'm testing how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of the other churches. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. By his poverty, he made us rich. Here's my advice. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year, see, sometimes our enthusiasm is there, but we aren't faithful to follow it. Last year, you were the first who wanted to give, and you were the first to begin doing it. Now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have. And that's an important part. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly and give according to what you have, not what you don't have. So we don't compare ourselves to anybody else. We just compare ourselves to us and how God's going to work through you. Of course, I don't mean your giving should make life easy for others and hard for yourselves. I only mean that there should be some equality. Right now, you have plenty and can help those who are in need. Later, they will have plenty and can share with you when you need it. In this way, things will be equal. As the scriptures say, those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. And so what's important? Keeping our priorities. Now, generosity comes from the heart. That's what we have to, not your financial worth. And so it's not a matter of that. It's a matter of where's your heart? Where's your priorities? What do you want to do? How do you want God to work through that? And so begin praying that God can use you to be a blessing and to work through that. Generosity brings great joy. So I'm excited about the opportunity of giving. I'm excited to see how God is going to work through this and make a difference. And what a joy it is to see Him bless that and multiply that. Generosity is based on what you have, not on what you don't have. So it's not like, as I said, somebody has more than others. God's called us just to be generous. He's called us to want to make sure. And there's lots of ways that we can be generous. So we see also it's motivated by the fact that we are blessed and we want to be a blessing. That's the good news of the gospel. He wants to bless each one of us. And when we bless others, we find that great joy that's a part of that. And so I'm trusting that God will use each one of you. Winston Churchill said this, "We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give." I challenge you to be thinking about how God's going to use you this week and in the coming weeks to really experience generosity. There's such an importance of it. I'm going to show you a quick video I found on YouTube as well about giving and how giving and kindness, how generosity and kindness are so kind of intertwined, and you'll see the difference and how it runs full circle when one is trying to make a difference in that world. I remember reading just this last week about it was a pay it forward thing at Starbucks. Somebody said, "What's the next customer's bill?" I think it was in Indiana. It went like 134 customers. Every person kept coming and paying for the person that was behind them. Just think if we as Christians can make a difference in our world by just showing kindness and generosity to those that are around us. Watch this.
Of day, I like the dark. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people passing by. I see friends shaking hands, singing, how do you do? We're really safe. I love you. I hear babies cry and I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than we'll know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. High above the chimney top, that's where you find me. Oh, somewhere over the rainbow, way up high. And the dream that you dare to, why, oh, why can't
us to be generous hearts. He wants us to make a difference in our world. And so God's calling each one of us to explore ways and be consciously thinking this coming week how God can use your life to change the lives of those that are around you. Father, help us as the light of the world that we truly would light our world by making that kind of difference. We just give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. May God bless you. Go be generous.